but I think back.
Morning, everybody. So welcome to our service of Holy Communion. We're observing today as the ninth Sunday after Trinity. Before we go any further, I'm afraid I have some sad news for you, in that Brian Clark, who a lot of you will know, probably just as Brian, sat halfway down on that side, always came with a stick, I'm afraid died on Friday. Yeah, he always used to walk past my garden and we would stop and chat. Unfortunately, he always had a heart problem and that was that. So, as we sit, let's pray for Anne and his family. So, loving Father, we thank you for Brian and all that he was to this fellowship and to his family and his friends. And just this morning, we hold them before you. His wife Anne, his wider family and all his friends. And Lord, we just ask you to be close to them at this time. Because we ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. If you'd like to stand, we'll sing. We'll sing our first hymn, which is hymn 1202, Come Down, O Love Divine.
Thank you.
So we meet this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Sit or kneel for our prayer. We say together the Collect for Purity. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. As we say together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. And so, Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect Prayer for today, the ninth Sunday after Trinity. Almighty God, who sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and light of your Church, open our hearts to the riches of your grace, that we may bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in love and joy and peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. The psalmist said, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." May that be so for us now as Jean and Marie come to read to us with God's word.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 32, beginning to read at verse 22. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he couldn't overpower him, He touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, chapter 9, beginning to read at verse 1. "I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Theirs is the adoption to sonship. Theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah, who is God all over all, forever praised. Amen." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. If you'd like to stand, we'll sing again. This time it's hymn 557, "Thou Whose Almighty Word."
Thank you.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. This is the 14th chapter of Matthew's gospel. We begin at verse 13. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May I speak only in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do sit down. So, apart from the resurrection, the story of the feeding of the 5,000 is the only story found in all 4 of the Gospels. And I think that must make it one of the best verified, best attested of all of Jesus' miracles. So back in the early church, very little was written down. And I like to think that this particular story was one of those which was told most often. Indeed, it was most probably told in the context of an early Eucharistic setting. That's to say, whenever those early Christians got together to celebrate what we would today call Holy Communion. If you think about the story, the way Jesus breaks the bread and gives thanks would be a really good way into teaching those early Christians about the Eucharistic meal and Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Having said that, this story isn't just a metaphor for Jesus' later sacrifice on the cross. There are also details here that are clearly additional to any kind of such teaching use. Details that make it clear that this is a very real memory of an extraordinarily real event. For example, there's the fact that the writer, when counting the number of people who are fed, thought to mention that the number of 5,000 was in addition to all the women and children who were there. And whilst that may seem like an insignificant detail, it is in fact at the heart of what this whole chapter claims about Jesus. We learn that everyone was satisfied. And not just that, not only was immediate necessity met, but it was massively surpassed. The 12 baskets referred to in verse 20 are yet another indication of God's unstinting generosity. And you can interpret that also as referring to God's provision for the 12 tribes of Israel. But this is such a well-known passage. And for us modern Christians, I think that can be a problem. The passage is so well-known that its very familiarity can lead us away from a proper understanding of what happened on that hillside 2,000 years ago. You might want to think about the fact that all this happened in a remote, barren, deserted place. And this leads us to remember that when God provided food for the Israelites during their 40-year exodus in the wilderness, something similar happened. Then there's a second analogy which I think is much more common and which I alluded to earlier, and that's Jesus's taking, blessing, breaking and distributing the bread together with the fish, all of which foreshadows the events of the Last Supper, which of course we'll celebrate shortly. Both of these motifs are significant. And of the four gospel writers, only John mentions it, but he places this event as happening at the time of Passover, which Jews traditionally eat a meal to commemorate the deliverance of the Israelites out of Egypt. And the food Jesus provided can be contrasted with the manna of Moses, but with one important difference. Those who ate the manna in the wilderness during that 40 years, they all died. Jesus, though, represents true bread from heaven, the gift of his Father who alone gives eternal life and the assurance of resurrection. So I wonder, what do you think of when you hear this story again for the umpteenth time? Is this God being God? Or perhaps just another demonstration of raw power? Or is it another something for us to be in awe of and worship? So as I prepared for this reflection, I read and reread the story in a number of different Bible versions. My overwhelming impression was that apart from the obvious connection with the Eucharistic meal we are about to share, this is at its heart a story of touching tenderness. It's a record of Jesus's practical concern for the hungry and their nagging physical needs, as well as a symbolic concern for what you could call the little things of life and the world's broken fragments. This made me think, because the church doesn't always share Jesus's concern for such little things, all four gospel writers were impelled to give prominence to this concern. So the church would do well to give more thought to its Lord's ability to create abundance out of very small and inadequate materials. So back in the late 2nd century AD, there was a group of anonymous Christians. We think they were living in what we would now call Syria. They wrote a treatise on Christian living that has become known as the Didache. And a significant part of this text concerns the Eucharist, Holy Communion, and it includes this prayer. It says, "Even as broken bread was scattered over the hills and was gathered together and became one, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom." And it ends by saying that all this is to happen to the glory and the power of God through Jesus Christ forever. Nearly 2,000 years later, we could do worse than make this our fervent prayer today. And perhaps this is why all four Gospels carry this story. But is this what immediately springs to mind whenever we read or have read to us the story of the feeding of the 5,000? As I just said, it's the story's very familiarity that is so problematic. So I'd like to suggest just one idea for avoiding the usual knee-jerk reactions to such a well-known tale. Far too often we only engage with our eyes when we're exploring the Bible. So what I'd like to suggest to you is that the next time you open your Bible, try to experience the passage in front of you with all five senses. What might you hear? Are there birds singing? Or are there maybe waves crashing on the shore? Or perhaps there's a crackle of a fire close enough to hear? Is it cold or is it hot? Is there sand between your toes or wind blowing through your hair? Are you close enough to the sea to taste the salt in the air? Or are you getting ready to taste a meal? What do you smell? Do you smell livestock or flowers? Possibly even perfume. Is the disturbing smell of sickness or death in the air? Once you build the scene through your senses, new pieces of narrative can come to life or can be given a deeper meaning, and the whole passage can become very real. So later today, or perhaps tomorrow, try rereading this passage, imagining that you are one of the actual characters in the story. What would it have been like if you were Jesus in this story? And that's not sacrilege. It's perfectly sensible to try and understand how this might all have been for Jesus. What about if you were one of the disciples? How would it have been if you were the person who had your modest picnic taken from you to feed 5,000 people? And finally, maybe you could look at all this from the perspective of just anyone who was in the crowd that day. You could try rereading the passage from the viewpoint of any one of those participants, or even better, from all of them separately. This might just give you a fresh understanding of what may have become for you a somewhat hackneyed tale. Be bold, give it a go. You may just see the essence of Jesus, the wondrous, loving Son of God, or the essence of God's abundant grace and generous gifts to us, with more than 12 baskets left over. So wherever you are in this story, if you are hungry, come and eat. You don't need to earn a spot. It is already unconditionally yours. Our God is in the business of changing the most ordinary things into holy things, scraps of food into feasts. And if God says to us, "What do you have to offer?" and all we can say is nothing, God will reply, "No problem. I can work with that." Amen. Amen. Remain seated for our intercessions.
We have gathered together here to meet with God in worship. Let us pray to him now. Bread of heaven, on you we feed. Lord, awaken in us our need for you, and make us hungry and thirsty for you, both as individuals and as the Church of God in this place. Let no other issues sidetrack us from seeking you, and increase our love with compassion so that we long to serve out your love to the world around us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, allow our world to see the true value of things so that the worthless and dangerous is unmasked and the real needs acknowledged. Guide our leaders in wisdom and integrity, and enable us all to cooperate in the proper care and stewardship of the world's resources. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, as we seek our food this week, remind us of your spiritual feeding. May the meals we prepare and eat together be opportunities for drawing closer to one another and to you. Lord, we pray for all who need medical treatment or are waiting in pain for surgery. We pray for those who have become addicted and long to be set free. We pray for Corin, Tash, Amanda, Caden, and the family of David Hoare. And in a short time of silence, we bring to you those people we know who need you at this time. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we welcome into your eternity all those who have spent their lives coming to you and now come to be with you forever. Have mercy on all who are approaching death, who do not know you, but reject what they imagine you to be. May they respond to the true and living God and know your love forever. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food that satisfies our souls. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Would you please stand? So before God and one another, we affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. As we say together, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Since God has forgiven us in Christ, let us forgive one another. As we are forgiven and reconciled to God through Christ Jesus, let us be reconciled to each other. And so may the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
We share with one another a sign of that peace. Peace be with you, man. As we stand, we'll sing our offertory hymn number 24, Angel Voices Ever Singing, 24. This morning we'll use Eucharistic Prayer 1 on page 5. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give you thanks and praise.
Please sit on you for our prayer. It is indeed right. It is our duty and our joy at all times and in all places to give you thanks and praise. Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. For he is your living word. Through him you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. Through him you have freed us from the slavery of sin, giving him to be born of a woman and to die upon the cross. You raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand on high. Through him, you have sent upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit and made us a people for your own possession. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for the coming of your kingdom. And with this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your Spirit, inspire us with your love, and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honour and glory and power be yours for ever and ever. Amen. We continue on page 17. As we pray together the prayer which Jesus himself taught us, as we are bold to say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts, by faith, with thanksgiving. The body of Christ, a gift from heaven. The body of Christ, a gift from heaven. Amen. The body of Christ, a gift from heaven. 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 We continue at the top of page 18 by saying together the prayer after communion. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is hymn 127, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken. We stand to sing.
Glorious things of thee are spoken.
So may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and those whom you love, this day and always. Amen. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.